Hello all, and welcome to another episode of Your One Black Friend podcast. This episode was inspired largely in part by a meeting that I had with an administrator at a university in Michigan. It's a conservative school, but a good person overall. And I was talking to said administrator about their curriculum and how they are preparing their students for the future. So I asked, I said, listen, are you guys preparing the students that attend your school to be ready for the world that we're living in now? And he said, no, largely our focus is on America's history and on this past, the Constitution, understanding where we came from. And I said, I get it. In theory, I do. And it makes sense. And it made sense up until a certain point, right? But given everything that has been going on within the last 2-3 years, I think that it is, especially if you are private, if you are involved in a private university, if it's a small university, it is very important to prepare your students, not only to sort of be able to survive in the world, like get a job, things like that, but also to be able to navigate the present that is rapidly emerging. What we thought of, what we've been conditioned to think of, what we've imagined is the future is here. All right. So part of our conversation, he was talking to me about, for example, globalists. That came up in the conversation. That is something that you should be preparing kids for, young adults for. Right. Something as simple as a conversation over, is my cell phone listening to me? Are corporations using these apps to scan my conversations, send things back so that they can sell things to me? That's happening right now. We had to learn from each other. But I think that in order for universities to stay relevant as institutions of higher learning, they need to be, it is their responsibility, it's imperative that they should also be educating their students on what to expect and how to navigate the space that is rapidly emerging. I, in previous episodes, have talked about how our laws, our legal system, our government is behind. That right now it's a wild west, and it's not necessarily the governors that rule anymore, the presidents that rule anymore. And I don't think it has been that case for the long time, but at least up until recently, we had an illusion. It was a facade, but that facade is rapidly crumbling. This country has become a corporatocracy, and not just this country, but the entire world. If you are involved in some sort of educational institution or system. If you are an individual who educates people, now is the time to be preparing your patrons, your students, those who you advise and coach, how to live in the world that has now emerged. Now, as I said in past episodes, we cannot count on the legal system to protect us because corporations are about 15 years ahead. Maybe I'll be gentle. 5 to 15 years ahead of the legal system, of the law. So the only thing that can protect us, that can protect the average consumer, is awareness, is education, is understanding the world that we live in now. So this episode, I think I'm going to call it Training for the Future Now. I have repeatedly mentioned the book, Age of Surveillance Capitalism. There's a few other books I need to get through, and then I will try to find other books on the topic. But Age of Surveillance Capitalism itself is a bit of a tome. That's a textbook, and I encouraged this administrator at this university that he could at least teach a course, or he should suggest to the president of this university to offer that as a course. It's absolutely necessary. Please. And if you happen to be an administrator listening to this podcast, I implore you. And I should say I've never met the author of the book. I can't even think of her name off the top of my head. But the book is brilliant. I have no affiliation with the book. It's just a brilliant book that is very mind-opening. And honestly, a lot of what she talks about is quickly being outdated. But a lot of people aren't even aware of what she's talking about. So if the book that's laying out everything about how corporations have turned us into raw material, our lives, our voices, our likeness, our image, into raw commodities for products in order to control our behavior, to remove from us our freedom to choose, our autonomy. Most people haven't even heard of this book. If you're going into a university and your university is not offering this, then who is the university serving? If the university is not offering this as a course to prepare you for the world that you are living in right now, beyond just learning the stock market and learning how to, you know, balance a checkbook, algebraic equations, when the fuck have you guys needed any of that? If I'm going to pay, as a parent, thousands of dollars to send my kid to a university, please believe that I want her, especially a private university, because we all know, or at least we should know at this point in time, that public state-funded universities are just programming institutions. If you don't believe that, pick up a curriculum or attend a couple of classes. You realize what I mean. And that's all. I have to be mindful of not saying too much. I am in the process of working on moving. Well, I'm not going to say moving my content, because I will still have most of my content on Audible, on Spotify, on Apple, on YouTube, things like that. But there are just certain things that I, because I'm aware, and you should be aware too, of the world we're presently living in, does not mean that this world will always be this way. We do have a choice. I was reading a book on quantum physics. I'll actually get back to that. Let me pin that. But we do have a choice. But presently, right now, we have to be very mindful of how we speak. I have to be very mindful of how I speak. So I'm in the process of at least attempting to build a website that is not attached to like a Patreon or anything like that, where it's a, you know, like a membership free. I might have like subscription content beyond the membership, but where you can just go to the site and you access it, and then I can have a little bit more of a freedom at the very least to talk about what I want to talk about without worrying about YouTube pulling my videos. Because I have a feeling from the summer of this year, mark my words, from the summer of this year until the winter of next year, it's going to be a doozy. And so I'm just laying down the pipe work, the foundation, so that, you know, when I talk on YouTube, when I talk on the podcast, you know, I'm going to speak in sort of general ways to the general public, but then we'll be a little bit more detailed behind the walls of my website. So that's what we're preparing for now, a year ahead of the time. Definitely a year from now, things are going to be intense. So brace yourself, start to prepare. So to go back to my point, if you're an administrator in an institution of higher learning, if you are an advisor, if you are a therapist, if you are a teacher, in any way, a life coach, also just bringing to awareness the people in which you are stewards of, their awareness of what's going on presently. Even if you just let them know that, hey, you know how you think your, for example, something as simple as, you know how you think your phone's listening to you? It's listening to you. But it's now beyond that. All right. There's something called nudging. There are corporations that are administering highly advanced psychological tactics to motivate us to behave in certain ways. You need to be mindful of that. And just encouraging them to understand that this world is not what we think anymore. within the last week, I think at this point most people have heard, at least most people listening to this podcast have heard of ChatGPT. When it first came out, I loosely had heard of it, sort of ranted about it in the last couple episodes or so, but I did not involve myself in it. But for the most part, I had heard relatively benign things about it until it was incorporated by Microsoft and they merged it with their Bing software. That is what we're told. Don't know what they actually did behind closed doors. But as soon as Microsoft acquired it, this thing started acting up. They controlled it. And now, as of I think today or yesterday, they are now removing the controls. And what I mean by acting up, it's like you can, I think there's a, on my Instagram page, I actually posted screenshots from the article on Yahoo. It's like threatening people, threatening to dox people, right? Just behaving erratically. There is a, well, it's behaving like a human being. Now, whether or not it's sentient, it's conscious, or if there's just, it's programmed to behave in a particular way and that's how it's doing or how it's behaving, I don't know. In my Is AI is a Parasite episode, in the middle of it, starting at the 27 minute marker, I explained how a computer could become sentient. I don't think a brain generates consciousness, but I do think that it can house and hold consciousness. I will put out that same episode but clipped down. I think I will release it on my YouTube channel, that section where I talk about it. I just have to edit it down, and I will put it to my Instagram channel, and eventually it will be on my website. I have to figure out what name it's going to be, but join my newsletter. If anybody is listening to this, if you go to youronebyfriend.com, it's the first link. Click on that, put your email address, and then I will shoot you an email when the website is on. It will just be a one-stop shop where you can have access to the podcast. You can have access to all of my videos that I put in all different places, but all in one place, all free. And then there'll just be a separate tier if you want to purchase like a book or a PDF or something like that. But I'll also offer free content as well. So there's not a money grab. You're good. I just want to be able to have access to you guys and to be able to stay connected with you guys, where I'm not at the mercy should I become shadow banned. Because I've been getting some messages of people telling me that even though their notifications have been turned on for my content, it's not happening. Like, they're not getting the notifications. There's just stuff that's been going on kind of weird. And so I don't wait for things to happen. I pay attention to the clues and then act accordingly. It's about that time. And if you are a creator and you're listening to this, start sort of harnessing your audience and also pulling them towards you. So that, especially if you're talking about these sort of things, so that at the very least, they can hear you and they can reach you and you can contact them when you want to contact them, not when some corporate or, you know, algorithm decides to send them your information. If you get my drift, rather. I was not a Freudian slip, by the way. I'm not grifting. But you should be absolutely doing that. Everyone should. Because it doesn't matter how many subscribers you have, how many quote-unquote followers you have. Right, you're creating content. It's your content. After everything I've been saying in the last couple of episodes, I am painfully aware that every time I speak and upload a video, I am giving the AI bits of myself. And I should state, for the record, considering the fact that AI scrubs the internet, and I think you guys should start doing this as well, I do not consent to any corporation using my name, image, likeness, or voice without my consent. I do not consent. Because understand what I'm doing here, right? The AI learns. It will scrub, because that's what I'm saying in this episode right now, be prepared for the future that is emerging and has emerged now. There will come a time, the time is already now, where every bit of information that you have accessed, I'm sorry, that you have input into the internet, a profile has been created of you. There are servers just popping up, building large servers, warehouses that house countless servers that are just hosting data, where essentially everything about you can be chronicled. So everything in this reality is a dual-edged sword, right? It's a double-edged sword, right? So use the other edge to your advantage. If an AI is utilized to scrub the internet for any information you put out there, then put out information that you want scrubbed. And repeatedly state, I do not consent to any corporation, any entity, now or forever, in perpetuity, using my name, image, likeness, voice, thoughts, ideas, and anything else that is my biological and intellectual property. I do not consent. I do not consent. Now, I don't know what presently the protections you have by saying this, but in the future, it may very well be viable. So I feel like it doesn't hurt to repeatedly state this. I do not consent. Right. And if that means then that from that point on, everything that you had given in good faith into this internet, into the system, gets scrubbed, then so be it. But at the very least, if you are willing to put out information that you control, and if you're thinking, what do you mean? You can write a book and put it out. Things that you consent to. At this point in time, we can start decentralizing everything. And I know I understand what I'm saying right now is probably more dangerous than a lot of the things that I'd said in the past, but that's okay. You can start carefully, curating what you want to be put out about you, rather than some corporation curating information and then using you like raw material to make a product that they can now use to manipulate your loved one. I talked about this on one of the videos where I said, and I think I talked about the previous episode as well, they have the technology right now to take your name, image, and likeness and create a digital copy of you that is similar to you, that's familiar to you. But let's say if you're a female, create a male-looking version of you. And there will come a time where they will use that digital avatar as a construct, using something similar to deepfake, to construct an avatar, a realistic-looking avatar, that they will then use to target, without your knowing, to target people that are in your contacts list. You don't understand that the reason why these companies keep asking you to allow them to have access to your contacts, they're not asking you that for no reason. They're trying to connect everybody so that they can see the relationships we have with people and that they have to us. They're building a web. They're learning. They're using AI to learn, and not just with information that has been voluntarily put into a ChatGPT and scrubbed into the internet without our consent, but even things like allowing them access to your contact list, allowing them access to your photo album. And now they have facial recognition, so they know whose faces do what, go to where. I have on my phone right now, because I paint, there's a couple of faces that I use repeatedly, go to, that are sort of like my muses. One of them is a model by the name of Jessica Strother. And so she's in my phone a lot because I've used her as a reference a couple of times in some paintings. And I am working on a painting right now where I'm actually using some of her features. And I remember I tapped on her picture and I like accidentally scrolled up and it put her name. I don't even know her name. I just saw her one time on Pinterest and I thought that's a beautiful woman. So I started saving her image every time I saw her. And the phone knew her name. I'll say that again. The phone knew her name. So it's going to start. It's going to start with celebrities. And pretty soon, and I know how wild this is going to sound to you, but you need to be prepared for the future. And that's just open. This is what's going to happen. There's going to come a time when you're going to have people in your phone. And it's going to be considered normal. Give it about 5 to 7, maybe 10 years, where everyone that you see, every face that's in a picture, is going to be, you're going to be able to tap their face and it's going to give you their name. It's a serious violation of people's privacy, but that is coming. It sounds absurd now, but that is coming. When we talk about loss of privacy, people thought it just meant if I have nothing to hide, then it doesn't matter. But what I'm talking about is it's going to get to that level. And it's going to be a slow, put the frog in a pot and slowly turn the heat up before it realizes it's boiling. Come back to this episode when it happens. It is on its way to happening. Now, that being said, we can stop it. Should we make a conscious effort to say we don't want this? On a quantum level, it is said that on a quantum level that the universe is non-deterministic. That's not true, by the way. I've just finished reading like several courses on quantum physics, and the authors who are just ridiculously closed-minded because they can't even think outside of what they are being programmed with, like what's coming out of their mouth. But they kept saying that on a quantum level, especially in regards to wave-particle duality, the universe is non-deterministic. Now, I'm not going to go into details with, you know, why I think that is absolutely wrong. All I will say is this. If wave and particle is an option for a state in which an electron can take or a photon can take, those two options are still fucking predetermined, right? I keep saying that our future is sort of like one of them choose your own destiny books. But no matter what choice you make, they're already predetermined now. So the argument that these quantum physicists had made is that on a quantum level, an electron can still choose to either, quote, choose, depending on the observer, to either at the last minute behave as a wave or a particle. So at that point, because it's making a different choice, I'm simplifying this, by the way, excessively so, but just for the sake of this, you know, podcast, because it can choose between a wave and a particle, then nature is non-deterministic. And that's a contradiction. Just because you have two options, that doesn't mean it's not predetermined. There's a video that I have called, like, I'm wearing a green linen shirt. Well, the shirt's actually cotton, but the shirt says green linen shirt. If I control your choices, then you're not really free. So if an electron has this sort of a wavicle property, where it can behave as a wave or a particle, and that's what you're using to say that on a quantum level, our universe is non-deterministic. I mean, that's just stupid. Those options are still programmed in. I apologize. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say stupid, but it's closed-minded. Expand your mind. Those options are still programmed in. It can only behave as a wave or a particle. So those two options are still programmed in. Now, which direction it goes could be like more of a, I guess, choice. You could say that it could at any point in time go this way or that, but they're all still, it's still just those two choices, which goes back to my, it takes you back to my my duality, my binary code episode, where it's still at the end of the day, it's still just those zeros and ones. Okay? So, even if nature is still deterministic on a quantum level, I am taking that stance because that is it, those two options are predetermined. There are still a myriad of predetermined realities or predetermined states that we can experience. So I'm going to take that and apply that now to what I'm talking about. I am, in this episode, I intend to sort of lay out paths in which our, that I see us headed towards. With the caveat, though, that let's look at our future right now as this is where things are right now. And our options are, if we were electrons, particle, or wave. If we continue down this path, right, there's going to come a time when, for example, a corporation will be able to essentially clone you on a digital level. And it's not going to stop at digital, by the way. Slow burn. Slowly turn up the heat. But let's start with digital. Corrupt this digital version of you and then use that as a means to sell your grandma something. And think about how like our parents and our grandparents are sort of like they're catching on. They try to use technology, but it's still like it's weird to them because they didn't grow up with it. Right. Now think about the next level of that. It's going to how that's going to make us feel the next level of technology. And we're going to be moving in that same way that they are moving, where it's like they're trying to grasp it, but they can fall for a lot of tricks. And I'm saying that technology exists right now. They're just waiting for the right moment to implement that. So I'm thinking of my mother, and I'm imagining her just minding her own business, where all of a sudden, like scrolling through Facebook or something, and she sees an ad. And the ad kind of sounds like me. And the face kind of looks like me. Or God forbid, and it breaks my heart to say, it kind of looks like what my little sister would have looked like. And if you think, and for those of you who don't know, I lost my little sister when I was about 10 years old. If you think that corporations would be above doing something like that, you've not been paying attention. In fact, think about what's been going on with like what we've been saying is going on with like FB and other social medias. Like they thrive on emotional outrage. So they will push content that they know will get people to have an emotional reaction because that's what generates an attachment. It's what generates views. It's what increases a person's likelihood to use their product. So if you don't think that a corporation would stoop as low as to use the images of somebody that you love that has passed away, modify it where it's not quite them, but use the psychological subliminal attachment that you have to that person to sell you a product or to convince you, think Cambridge Analytica, to vote in a particular way. Because it's going to go beyond TV ads where they just broad spread it. And just like your feed right now has been carefully tailored to you using the algorithm, it's you specific, there will come a time when advertisements will be carefully tailored to you using people. They don't even have to hire actors anymore. They can scrub your photo album. Don't, by the way, think I'm giving them these ideas. The technology already exists. So I'm telling you what they're doing by using common sense. They're not asking for access to your contacts for no fucking reason. They're not asking for access to your photo album, your entire photo album, for no fucking reason. and they're not above using people as raw commodity, using aspects, your emotional connections as raw commodities for their products. There will absolutely come a time when you will be sitting and a pop-up will pop up through your feed and you'll see a face of somebody that's familiar to you, but not quite. And you won't be able to put your finger on it. And it's going to be an ad tailored specifically to you to convince you to vote a particular way, to buy a particular product, to move in a specific way. I am not giving people the idea. I am saying, because this is the benefit of, one, having anxiety. The plus side of having anxiety is this ability to think 10 steps ahead, to look at everything that's going on, and then imagine what could be possible. But the technology right now exists. So somebody wants to use that technology for something. I'm just telling you what they intend to use it for. Because what they always use it for is to sell you shit and make money. It's not to help people. Corporations have one MO. It's like bees have one MO. They get pollen, they make honey. That's just what they're known to do. So corporations have one MO. And what I mean by the technology exists, I'm saying the technology exists that can take you and create like a digital copy of you with slight variations, and then use that copy, this off-brand version of you, as a targeted ad to sell your loved one's stuff. That part I'm not making. It exists. When it will be implemented. But if I were a lawmaker listening to this, or if I knew a lawmaker, I would be talking about, no, that before it even has a chance to be implemented, I would be trying to pass a law where that's illegal. Because that doesn't benefit society. The argument can be made, well, if you limit us in this way, it hurts technological process progress. No, it doesn't. And so we have archaic laws at this point, about 100 years old plus, that are against monopolies, but they're still being used to sort of cut the legs of corporations to the best of our ability. But those need to be updated, because the monstrosity of the corporations that we have now, they're still kind of growing. But we need something that's like an antitrust or like an anti-monopoly law in order to stop these corporations from turning human beings into crop, into farm animals to be farmed. Your emotional connections to people that you love are not up for sale, for fuck's sake. And if it sounds like we're living in some sort of sci-fi dystopian novel, yeah, that's what I've been saying. The ChatGPT thing, and then it claiming to be sentient. Again, that was last week, and then we got the updates of it threatening to dox people and telling people to leave their spouses. I said this on the podcast. There was an episode where I was like, these things know that you're cheating on your spouse. I think the episode was actually called Age of Surveillance Capitalism. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I was like, these things know that they're cheating on your spouse before you do. You do know that, right? I said that on the podcast. It's funny because, like, I have a whole podcast called The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. But I guess if we are in some sort of simulation, it would make sense for like oracles to actually exist within the game. And what I mean by an oracle is there's an oracle program in computer programming where you just ask it questions and it can give answers. And that's somehow how my mind sort of works. And before I go further, people keep commenting whether or not I'm AI. And I find that question, like, I try not to react when I get that question, but I find that question so fucking offensive. Like, it creates like a guttural reaction in my stomach. Like, it makes me nauseous every time I see that comment. So I'm gonna say that here again. I'm not AI. I have never thought, I never thought, like if somebody told me 10 years ago that I would have to essentially make a statement where I have to say I'm actually a human being, I'm not a robot, I would have laughed. But now I actually seriously have to say that out loud. I am not an AI. I'm a human being just like you. You can think at this capacity as well. Just open your fucking mind and read books. I've told people how I've gotten to this point. I don't drink. I don't consume caffeine. I eat clean food. The water I drink is not fluorinated. I have a reverse osmosis filtration system in my home. I fast. I try to meditate. And I listen to audiobooks. My time is my own. I don't consume media. Like, I don't really watch TV like that. It's amazing how many people will comment and ask me, like, have you watched this? For the most part, I don't watch a lot of TV. I sit with my own thoughts and try to keep my mind as open as possible. And to me, asking me if I'm AI, no, I'm conscious. I am aware, like you. I am consciousness in human form like you. So to ask that question is to somehow say that in order for me to be able to speak in this way, I am not human. And it's an insult to humanity because humanity is better than the box that we've been put into. Don't elevate me, and absolutely do not elevate me to that point where you're comparing me to, like, to me when I hear artificial intelligence, I think like artificial sweetener or artificial honey. You know, so imagine you go up to a honey farmer who just like gave you like a jar of just pure Manuka honey. And then you go, wow, this tastes really good. Is this like aspartame? And it's like, what? The amount of time, energy, and effort it took me to sort of curate the mind that I have now. Share that mind with you. And I know people don't mean this to be offensive. I think because they live in a world where we are seemingly surrounded by a lot of NPCs. But then those NPCs are AI. Those people who aren't checking, who aren't pushing back. And please see the most recent video that I posted today on my Instagram and my YouTube where I said, reframing NPCs, redefining NPCs to mean not presently conscious. But if you're surrounded by non-presently conscious people who are then controlled by the AI that I've been saying, go all the way back to The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. I think the first episode aired in 2018 or maybe 17, one of those years. I started the podcast talking about there is an AI that controls our reality. I've been talking about this. If you want to find the link, go to yourunblackfriend.com. Go all the way to the end. You'll see where it says The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, Jolie's Secret Podcast or something like that. I don't know why I called it secret. It's there. Anybody can access this. It's literally everywhere. But yeah, somebody who's conscious and aware and paying attention is not AI. People who are walking around and not conscious and just kind of going with the flow and doing what everybody else is doing, they are AI. So don't ask me if I'm AI, respectfully. I'm not offended. I just sometimes speak like an asshole, by the way. I just have a very like Nigerian way of speaking. I don't know if you meant Nigerians, but the way we talk is like very like that. But don't ask me if I'm AI. I'm not AI. I'm conscious. I'm conscious awareness. This is who we are. And how we can be. Not saying I'm some sort of pinnacle of anything. I'm not. As I always say, I'm just a motherfucker who's paying attention. I'm looking around like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm not AI. Ask the motherfuckers around you who are just doing the same shit over and over again and acting like robots. Those are the AI. There will come a time when our lives, that is a probable future. Think back to electrons, wave particles. Right now, we are on the path of experiencing a probable reality where our lives will be so ridiculously controlled by AI that we will have no idea. I don't know why they took off. Somebody told me this. They have taken off Westworld from HBO Max. So you can't even go back and like rewatch it. Otherwise, I would say go and watch, I believe it was season 3 and season 4. But it's not on HBO Max anymore. For whatever random reason. Because that, those, the, I mean, the series itself is good. The last season was kind of like meh, but definitely season 3. I mean, everything was good, but definitely, season 2 was meh. Season 1 was fantastic. If you want to see where we're headed, go and watch that. And if you cannot find it, obviously, because it's not on HBO, try to find the DVD on Mercari or like eBay. And then just, I still have a DVD player, guys. You guys know this. Because you never know. If you have a show that you like, just buy the DVD. I like hard copies of things. I don't trust this digital shit. That's why I still paint. Oil and canvas, baby. Oil and canvas. I have some digital drawings. Y'all have seen me, you know, my sweaters or whatever. But for the most part, oil and canvas. That's where we're headed. Where your whole entire life would be controlled. I'm talking about when you go to work, your phone's going to, it's not even going to be a phone. There's going to be something else next, right? Something that will become so attached to, it just becomes a part of you that you can't leave. Like you can't just like, yeah, it's in theory, you can leave your phone at home, but they'll figure out a way to make it so addictive that you can't leave this, whatever the next thing is. You're going to get up, you're going to get sent an alert and it's going to say time to get up. And everyone in specific regions of like a city, especially bigger cities, they're going to roll it out in cities first. They're going to say, okay, from this moment in time, these people are allowed to leave their homes. Why? Well, because the AI says so. And then at a certain point in time, then time to go home. Time to consume TV or some entertainment. Right, that's how you think our lives are controlled now. That's where it's headed. If you're some kind of like an athlete and you are selling your, you know, NIL, please read the contract carefully. On one end, I want to say that at the very least, you are getting some sort of compensation for it. But you just have to be mindful. And if they want to offer you that, you at least have the room to negotiate and say, I'm putting a terms, not indefinitely. Let's renegotiate this in 20 years. You can absolutely ask for that. I don't see why not. Why are you trying to use this shit for in perpetuity forever and ever? What y'all doing? Why? What's going on? I'm not immortal. Like, well, why are you putting this on there? It's okay. It's okay to ask. It's okay to say, okay, fine, in 100 years, right? They do this in England where even if you buy like a property in London, you're not really buying the property because you don't own, like if it's a condo, the lease has like 100 years leases, right? So you can renew the lease for 100 years, but it's not yours. Somebody, that landowner who owns the land owns it for fucking ever, right? So why can't we keep that same energy, but for our own? Like the one thing that you come in, like you came into this world, that's your shit. For 100 years, fine. I'll sign this. You give me millions of dollars, whatever. Not me specifically. I'm talking about the athletes. You give me millions of dollars. And for 100 years, I'll allow you to lease my name, image, and likeness. But then after 100 years, it goes back to my family. Why can't we do that? I want to go back to a time when people like created like family crests. That's just a random side note, but like, why can't you do that? That's why it's important. If you have an agent, if you're an athlete and you have an agent and you're listening to this, your agent should read Age of Surveillance Capitalism to make sure that your best interests are protected. If a corporation isn't trying to like own you and everything about you, even after you no longer exist as a particular avatar, then they shouldn't have an issue leasing your NIL for amount of time that you determine. If they're trying to buy you, like, you gotta understand that also inflation is a thing. There was a time in our minds when, like, $1 million was a lot of money. And to some, it's still a lot of money, but, like, it doesn't buy the same shit. And considering the fact that they were just printing the fuck out of money during the last couple of years, it's going to mean even considerably less. So as it begins to emerge what exactly what they intend to do with our NILs, in hindsight, what may have seemed like a lot of money may not have actually been a lot of money. I remember reading an article where they were trying to buy people's faces and they were going to give them like $200,000 for like a computer, like company, like a robot company. Robotics company were trying to buy people's faces for like $200. That shit's fucking wild to me. In perpetuity. Again, they like using that shit in perpetuity. And people were like doing it. I understand, like, you need money. And I understand, you know, we live in a society that literally we have to like pay to exist. Somebody created this shit. No other creature on this planet has to move in this way. But in hindsight, you essentially, you're going to look back on that 20 years from now. And if you're walking around and there's literally like enslaved robots with your face, and then you got to deal with the shock of that. Everywhere you look, there's something walking around with your face, and how that would fuck you up. In hindsight, the ability to project yourself into the future based on the information that you have right now is absolutely required. It's too late. And if you guys need me to kind of help you through this, just shoot me email, send a voice note. Don't send me like a long ass thing, please. Or yeah, send me a voice note by email so I can listen to it. If you're not comfortable going that route, hit me up on Telegram. And actually, I almost want to encourage you doing that because I feel like your voice would be more protected through Telegram, which is encrypted, than through Google. So yeah, you're welcome to send me a voice note through Telegram, which is end-to-end encrypted and was owned and created by people, from what I know anyway, that were trying to push back on Putin. So as it stands right now, they could be controlled up, but as it stands right now, they were, you know, the app was created, Telegram app was created for a specific reason. I respect that based on what I know now. And so that's why I work with them. It's also why I closed the Discord channel and went with them. Went with Telegram. Who knows? That could be another gaslight. But for now, I can only operate from the space of the information that has been given to me. So if there's things that you want me to consider, hit me up through Telegram. But sign up for the newsletter, because that's the first thing I'm going to ask you. Because don't ask me for advice if you're not willing to, like, you know, meet me. Because, like, hey, let's move together, right? Tit for tat. I actually had a longtime listener sent me a voice note, and they asked me about a digital app. Like, it's like an app that it's a voice note, so it allows you to leave notes with your voice. And he'd said, the words he said, it was like, it's kind of like a second brain to me. Shout out to this guy, but I don't want to like drop his name just out of his privacy, but I appreciate him sending me this question. What he said was, he was like, this app, I use it, and it's kind of like a second brain to me. But their terms of service say that their AI is going to use any information that I upload into it to learn. And that, I'm like, that's it right there. We're actually going to start reading the shit that we're agreeing to. Start reading the shit that we are just hitting I agree to. That's the first step. Taking the time before you just hit I agree, what the fuck am I consenting to? I appreciate the fuck out of that. That made my whole entire day. And he was like, I don't know how I feel about this, basically. I'm paraphrasing, you know? And I said, my response back to him was brilliant. This is a young cat, you know, college age. So I gave him three options. I said, right now, there are other ways in which you can take the time to do the research to find companies who aren't moving in that way. Right now, I just use my voice notes because right now, and I might be making a mistake, but it's okay. But right now, I just use my voice notes. But I don't have my voice notes connected to my iCloud, just stored on my phone. And the next time I get a new phone, I'm getting the largest storage I possibly can. And I'm in the back of my mind, I'm going to start trying to find ways to have my own private server. I'm that wild. Like, that's where I'm going. Like, there used to be a time when people would have, like, the people who would, like, prepare for the apocalypse, you know, and they would do that training. I can see them. It's not coming to my mind right now. They'd go out in the wilderness and they would, like, doomsday preppers. Right. So I'm like a technological, not a doomsday prepper, but like dystopia prepper, where I want to make sure that I'm in control of my own shit. If there's somebody out there, by the way, quick side note, that can make it so that you are able to have your own servers, that having your own server becomes the norm, please let's do this. Hit me up. Let's figure out how to make that happen. Because we shouldn't be just offering up bits of ourselves for these assholes to come and just take. You shouldn't worry about you talking into an app. They're going to take what you're saying and create some clone of you or something. Then that they're then going to commoditize and use it to like, in means that you, in ways that you did not intend. They absolutely do that. I'm not making that up, right? I think in the last episode I mentioned the young lady who was just she did like voice recordings for an audiobook. A voice actor. And then they took her voice without her consent and are now using her voice to train AI and to clone her voice without her fucking consent and without compensation. The future is now. And all of the problems that come with that, we need to be prepared for now. So what I said was vote with your wallet. What we support, right? We live in a capitalistic society. So what we support by what we pay for will encourage and support other people who are doing things the right way. So take the time to find companies that aren't doing that. Or that if they are, for whatever reason, using AI. I don't know why you need AI in a voice fucking note app, but whatever, right? There should be companies out there that will just allow, just, hey, here's the app and that. It stores it to your phone. And then from that point on, you decide whether or not you want to back that aspect or that app up to iCloud, where it doesn't then get uploaded into, you know, Apple stuff, right? These are your options. Two, right? So one, support those who are creating products, apps, technology, and they're using technology in that respects a whole human being instead of treating us like farm animals, like crop, like raw commodities, and support them, right? That will encourage more companies to come up and move in that way. If we as a collective are supporting that. So it's like same thing like the podcast. I keep putting content out there. Share. I appreciate those of you who are sharing the content. Right? And maybe if, you know, more people see that podcasts like this are doing well, then maybe more podcasts like this will emerge. Wave particle duality. I am talking about, in this whole episode, I've talked about what could be probable. What is it? What is the most probable reality if we continue down this path? But that doesn't mean that there aren't other probable realities that we can experience depending on the choices that we consciously make. Now, do you want to experience? What kind of world do you want to experience? I can only tell you where we're going on this present path, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other paths that we can take. Vote with your wallet. Second option I gave him. I said, you're a young cat in college. You create an app like that. Start creating products. And this goes to anybody listening to this right now. Think about this, how much, you know, how influential a person like Zuckerberg has been. And he started this company as a young adult. So if you're a young adult and you're a conscious adult, then you start your own company, dragging the rest of us down a path that you want to see. Because imagine if Zuckerberg was actually a conscious person at the start. How different Facebook would have been. And how different our world. Think about how much power this guy had. Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, Trump's presidency. Now imagine that was a conscious person. So, if there are products that don't exist, that you want to exist, then you need to put in the energy and effort, brace yourself for the pushbacks, into making them exist. And then on the flip side, I don't have that much reach, you know, right now, but I will. On the flip side, you guys support these companies and talk to other people about these companies. You reach out. We can shift off of the zero and to a one. Don't forget, they both exist. Zero and one. We are in a zero reality right now, negative, right? But we can shift. Wave, particle, both exist. But we can experience either based on the choices that we consciously make now. The key is staying conscious. I've often called this world an awareness training simulation, because that shit, woo, it tests you. I know you're feeling tested. But if there's an app, hey, if we're all addicted to our phones at this point in time, it is what it is. But it's a double-edged, everything here in this world is double-edged. Use the other edge to your advantage to help the collective. Can you figure out a way, some sort of app? I'm reminded of the book by Aldous Huxley, where there was like a, I think it was one of it, the island. And every once in a while, there was a bird that was programmed or trained to say, I forget what he would say, but I think the bird, if I had to remember, would say something like, wake up, stay awake, stay awake. If somebody could create an app, hit me up. I'm probably down to invest as well. But if somebody can create an app where you download this thing and just every hour, regardless of whether your do not disturb is on or off, you give it the choice to like bypass your fucking do not disturb. And it just goes, wake up, stay awake. Because this is something, it was the same problem that P.B. Uspensky wrote about. Where he like tried to stay conscious for a day. And then he got through like a week, like a week later, and he woke up and was like, fuck, what happened? Why can't we use technology to choose a different path? Right now, we're living in a world and a reality where technology isn't used for the greater good. It's being used for corporations to make money for their investors, which is a really stupid path we're on right now because it's fiat money just to buy more expensive shit. More expensive versions of shit they already have. But can technology be used positively? It can, by definition. Both have to happen. Both are possible. Create it. Create what you want to see. Help us. If you are in that field, help each other. I'm gonna try to do more episodes like this where we're just continuously we're training for the future. Now, I have mentioned this before, but it's worth revisiting. The shift that they're trying to shift us to. With digital currency. If you don't see that as another means of control, I need you to really sit with that. Everything you buy, tracked, data collected. Every person you give money to, tracked, data collected. I was trying to log into my Amazon account to make like a, to purchase or something like that. And I made a purchase and it got canceled. And it said something was wrong with my card. Nothing was wrong with my card. But when that happened, I had a flash and I thought like, wow, if we lived in a world where everything was controlled like digitally and I said the wrong thing. There's this lady called, I don't remember, I think her name is something like Miss News Lady on TikTok. And she was saying how, like, out of the blue, Wayfair just canceled her account and told her she couldn't, like, buy from them again. She actually posted a video, like, a month and a half ago. And she was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't even know. I've tried to reach them. I got attitude from people commenting. I don't even know if that ever got resolved. But I told her, I commented. I don't know if she saw my comment. We do follow each other, but who knows? I said, go and read Age of Surveillance Capitalism. Somehow, her address for her behavior online, something that had nothing to do with her, she had no idea what metrics, or it was just a glitch and she fell into the wrong category that something's been predetermined, and they just cut her off. No answers, no questions asked. Just... she's done. Can't purchase anymore. Now, you extrapolate from that. You say the wrong thing. Think about what's happening right now. People being deplatformed for not having the right opinion. That's coercion. We're being forced. It's even worse than like the fear of if you don't behave in a certain way, you're going to go to hell. Because this way, it's like if you don't behave a certain way, hell will happen on earth. You will be put in hell on earth. I saw PayPal put out a policy where they said they could at any point in time fine you, like I think $5,000 if you said something offensive. This was over the last 2 years. Look it up. It was like something ridiculous. You have $500 or $5,000, but they put in their policies by you agreeing to use their product. You agree that at any point in time they can fine you. Yeah, everything is controlled by like just certain banks. So think deeply about what going cashless really means 10 years from now. You say the wrong thing. Talk about thought policing. Talk about a social, what is it called? Social currency system or whatever, like what China is instituting. But on steroids, where now, let's say we become largely dependent on apps. You need an app to go somewhere. You need another app to purchase something. you do the wrong thing and you essentially get shut out. You know, the Greeks used to do that. They would like ostracize people. They would like kick them out of the country. They wouldn't like punish you. They would just like kick you out of the country. Right. And you just have to like go live as like a nomad or whatever. And that was like a greater punishment because I guess they were social creatures. Imagine a modern ostracization and what that would look like. I wish I could think of what that the name was like, where they would like ban you from your own country, but they would essentially ban you from society at large if you moved in the wrong way. Let's say you went to the wrong protest. Let's say you were part of the wrong pushback, the wrong organization. So now you're not allowed to shop on any platform. Like, you see how we see people get banned off of like Twitter and deplatformed, and their ability to make money gets stripped from them. And a lot of people go, yeah, that's a good idea. Like, not realizing that they start with people who have a lot of money and power to see what they can do and get away with and get you sort of used to. And then they go after people who don't have a lot of money and exposure and power. And so if they can do that to them, they can absolutely do that to you. And we are cheering this on because we like to other people and make others into villains instead of realizing that they don't give a fuck. They're just wanting to see what they can get away with. You can get banned from making purchases. You can get banned from taking, you know, taking a certain flight. Like, they can literally just cut off everything and ostracize you digitally. That's coming. That is a highly probable reality. Should we continue in the path that we're on right now? I'm running out of steam, guys. Got to get back to producing content, creating videos, all the stuff that I do, painting, working on the book and all of that. But I wanted to get this out there at the very least. Stay awake, stay aware. The future is now. Thanks for listening.